say to you tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to give you thanks. I want to praise you. I want to magnify your name. Lord, you know every heart. You know every circumstance, every situation that is represented in this room. And God, you're able to supply all of the needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I want to pray for those in this place tonight, Lord, that need a healing in their body. I want to ask you, Father God, for those fearful of the future. I want to pray that you'd give them an unsettled peace that passes all understanding. I want to ask, Lord, tonight for those who may have apprehensions about their place of employment, about the economy, about anything, Lord, that would tend to be a source of worry and fear for them. I want to pray tonight, God, that you'll give us all of us, just a peace that passes understanding. Knowing that you're God. Knowing, Lord, that you've been in business a long time and you haven't stuck up a yard sale sign in your yard. You're not going out of business. You're not clearing the house. You're God, and I want to thank you for that. Settle us tonight, Lord Jesus. Settle our minds, our hearts. Help us to focus on what you prepared for us tonight. We ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ, God's Son. And everyone said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. A number of years ago, there was one of the old fathers of the church wrote, I suppose it was a book, at least it was a powerful piece of writing. And the subject, the title of it was Practicing the Presence of God. I have thought of that all day long today. We'll talk about the presence of God, but I intended to develop this in an entirely different way than it wound up being developed, but let me just share one or two things with you tonight before I get into what I've got prepared here. You don't have to be in church to be in the Spirit. You don't have to be in church to be in the Spirit. You don't even have to look spiritual to be in the Spirit. Isn't it funny how we pick up little traits along the way, and we, especially growing up, and we admire people, and there are heroes, and we think, you know, boy, if I could just look like they look. You don't want to look like they look. You want to look like you look. God didn't make, he doesn't operate a cookie cutter. You're one of a kind. You're one of them to somebody and say you're one of a kind. Turn around to him and say, thank God. Practicing the presence of God. During the day, just take some time out and just say, Lord, I love you. Talk to him. He's real. He's so real. Andrew Murray was a missionary with the old Dutch Reformed Church in Scotland in the 1800s. And he was preparing to write a paper, Temple of the Holy Spirit. He said, as I was preparing to write this, I was in a state of reverential awe of what I was preparing to write. And he said, I will meditate and be still until something of the overwhelming glory of the truth fall upon me. And faith began to realize it. I am his temple. And in the secret place, he sits upon the throne. Now, after he'd written a while, this prayer rose like incense. The prayer he prayed was this: I do now tremblingly accept the blessed truth. God the Spirit, the Holy Spirit who is God Almighty, dwells in me. O my Father, reveal within me what it means, lest I sin against thee by saying it and not living it. End of quote. The old Methodist preacher Samuel Chadwick, he lived in the third part of England in the late 1800s. And he related his experience with the Holy Ghost. He said, "I owe everything to the gift of Pentecost." He said, "It came to me when I was not seeking. I was about my Heavenly Father's business. Seeking means whereby I could do the work to which He had called and sent me. And in my search, I came across a prophet, testimony, and set out to seek I knew not what. I knew that it was a bigger thing than I'd ever known. It came the line of duty in a crisis of obedience. When it came, I could not explain what had happened, but I was aware of things unspeakable and full of glory. Some results were immediate. There came into my soul a deep peace, a thrilling joy, and a new sense of power. My mind was quickened. I felt I had received a new faculty of understanding." End of quote. Holy Ghost is real. Holy Spirit of God is real. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Acts chapter 3, verse 18, and we'll begin there. "But those which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, He has so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." The times of refreshing. We'll talk about that a little bit tonight. The word refreshing in this particular sense means a recovering of one's breath. To catch your breath. To be refreshed. I don't have to tell you this in order for you to know, but there are plenty of desert places in this life. And the places we come to can suffocate the soul and spirit. Is that to be so? I have. There's a lot of pain that gets hidden behind the smiles. Lots of it. Overwhelmed. Sometimes life be overwhelming. A few years ago, I was doing some research on some of the things that I was going through in my life, and I come across an interesting theory. They call them LCUs, life change units. And whoever this was that had come up with this study had done a quite a bit of study on it, and they figured out that if you were in these type situations, that, well, like for instance, you'd lost your job, represented five LCUs, life change units. Anyway, he'd come up with this mythical figure that if you come up with so many of these life change units, that you were going to go under. And I got to looking at the professional assessment of what would make a person go under, and I got to counting up my life change units, double that. You know, I was there. Fail. I thought, well, Lord, what's keeping me alive? Anyway, I just threw that out there. Life can get overwhelming at times. It can just get overwhelming. And the word overwhelmed is a word that you will find only in the Psalms. It's a place in the Bible you'll find the word overwhelmed is in the Psalms. Assorted meanings include to fill up the hollows. Now, I looked at that one and I thought, what are they talking about? Well, I finally figured out to fill up the hollows means that you don't have any place that it ain't. I mean, you're just overwhelmed with it. It's every little place in your life has got some kind of overwhelming something or another to it, and it fills up the hollows. Another meaning is to be covered like a shroud, where you just covered up. How many has ever used the term, "I'm just covered up today"? Yeah, we've all used it. Sure we have. Psalm 55, verse 4 through 6, the psalmist said, "My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? Just to fly at rest. I've tried flying away every once in a while, you know, be at rest. And you know, I carry a lot of baggage with me when I fly. I get there and I find out, you know, the problem's not really all the baggage. The problem is usually me. But you know, you can't get away from it. But the longing is there. The longing is there. Sometimes you just get so homesick for heaven. Anybody ever get homesick for heaven? You know, we do. We get homesick for heaven. Just to fly away and be at rest. One of the ironies, if you could call it an irony of the whole situation, is when we get to heaven, we're going to rest a little bit. And then God's going to put us to work. I believe that. We're going to be busy, but the joyful part about it is we're going to have boundless energy to do it. It's fun to work if you've got all kinds of energy. But if you're drawing from something that ain't there and you're trying to push yourself, that's not a whole lot of fun. But heaven is going to be a place of boundless energy. My wife and I, several years ago, were talking about what we thought heaven was going to be like. And I've never forgot what Helen said. She said, Oh, to me, heaven is going to be a place where I've got all the energy I will ever need. Just boundless energy. I agree. It's going to be a beautiful place, a wonderful place, but it's going to be a place of energy. Psalm 77, verse 1 through 6. Yep, you got it, didn't you? I didn't know if we had Eugene Peterson's... Yeah, we've used it before, haven't we? Okay. This is the message. Eugene Peterson's translation, and it's Psalm 77, verse 1 through 6, so it won't read a whole lot like King James. But I love the way he puts it. I yell out to my God. I yell with all my might. I yell at the top of my lungs. He listens. Anybody ever been desperate enough to yell? Oh, boy, I have. I've been desperate enough. Hey, God, help. Here, I'm down here, Lord. Here. I'm not going to yell. I've got this microphone on it. But yes, I yell at God. I yelled to the top of my lungs. I found myself in trouble and went looking for my Lord. My life was an open wound that wouldn't heal. When friends said everything will turn out all right, I didn't believe a word they said. Have you ever been there? Amen. Oh, listen. Folks, let me give you a little homespun advice. You may have all the faith in the world there is. You may be a notch above everybody in the kingdom of God. But if you see a brother or a sister that's hurting, for goodness sakes, don't go to them and say something like, if you just had the faith I have. Don't be that dumb. Okay? That's not just dumb. That's cruel. Hey, amen. Just pouring salt and, you know, in a wound, and that's not going to help a thing in the world. Am I communicating here? Are we on the same page on this? Amen. I remember God and shake my head. I bow my head, then wring my hand. I mean, this guy's destitute. That's what overwhelm will do for you. You'll do everything to try to get a little relief. I'm awake all night, not a wink of sleep. I can't even say, oops. I can't even say what's bothering me. There you go. Now let's go. I go over the days one by one. I ponder the years gone by. I strum my lute. Now a lute is just a stringed instrument. I strum my lute all through the night, wondering how to get my life together. That's the part right there that I read all this other stuff. That last little line. How in the world am I going to get my life together? You ever been there? Yeah, we've all been there. How am I going to get my life together? Sometimes life unravels on us. Sometimes it just overwhelms us, and we look for a place to get a handle on things, and there's no handle. And we think, how am I going to get this thing back together? Psalm 102, verse 1 and 2. We're back to King James. A prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and poureth out his complaint before the Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily. I was visiting with somebody the other day, and I can't remember now who I was talking with, but they were, and I understand where they're coming from because I've been there so many times. They were saying, you know, why is it that sometimes when you get down to pray, it's just like God sitting there next to you? I mean, you know, he's so close and everything is so wonderful, and you just feel such an open line of communication to God. And other times you go to pray and it doesn't feel like God's on the same planet that you're on. We've all been in that situation, haven't we? Lord, where are you? I'm in trouble. Incline your ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily. Funny thing about it is, God is not far from any of us. Never is far from any of us. He's right there. He's as close as the mention of his name. And he's not far from us, but we feel like he's a long, long way off, do we? We're not. Sometimes we feel like God's just a long, long way off. There's a longing for the Spirit expressed elsewhere. In Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2. Let's look at that. A longing for the Spirit of God. Amen. As the hart panteth after the water, brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Now the hart is just a deer. And the picture is that the dogs have been chasing the deer, and he can't seem to get far enough ahead of them to lose them. But what he does, he jumps into the water brook, and they lose the scent of the deer, and the deer is refreshed in the process, and the dogs lose the chase. You know what? There's a beautiful picture here. If you'll just permit me just for a moment to suggest to you that if you want to throw the devil off track, get into the Word of God and get full of the Spirit of God and get refreshed in the Lord, and the devil loses the scent of you. He wondered where you went. My soul thirsty for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Psalm 61, verse 1 and 2. Here's what it says. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Let's go to Psalm 63, verse 1 through 4. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. I'd like for you to do something tonight just for the sake of doing it. Just so you'll know how good it feels. Just raise your hands all over this room. Hallelujah. Now that you've gone to the trouble to raise your hands, why don't you just look up and say, Lord, I love you. Oh, isn't God good? Hallelujah. We just lift our hands to you, Lord, and just worship you. Praise God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Hallelujah. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. grace, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. For He alone is worthy, for He alone is worthy, for He alone is worthy, Christ the Lord. Everybody said amen. Hallelujah. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. Early will I seek Thee. Early will I seek Thee. I don't believe that's just talking about 4 o'clock in the morning. I believe that if we sought God before we got in the mess, we might not get in the mess. Seek God as a matter. Seek Him often. Seek His seek to hear His voice. Train yourself to listen to the voice of the Spirit of God. Amen. There's no, as far as I know, a surefire way to know. Sometimes I have impressions to think that's God. It's really not Him. It's just wishful thinking on my part. But then there are other times go away. It just keeps coming back. Say, Lord, if that's You, dear God, I want to act on what I'm hearing in my soul at this point. Practice the presence of God. Practice listening for the voice of God. Amen. Early will I seek Thee to see Thy power and Thy glory. Amen. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. Psalm chapter 27, verse 4 and 5. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. It's really been an interesting situation going down to the cool 105.5 radio station several times a week. Put on radio programs on computer. It's an interesting thing. And I have been privileged to pray with every one of those people down there on occasion, crisis times. It's been fun. Those of you that tune into the music down there, you know it's not really the kind of music that I listen to 7 hours. But I believe God opened that door for me to be there to reach people with the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's been an interesting ride. It really has. And today I had a conversation with one of the guys, one of the DJs down there, and we were talking about people singing and about people singing off key. And he proceeded to tell me about a church that he used to, a little Baptist church he used to attend, that somebody came and they were so terribly off key. And he said, "Do you have anybody like that in your church?" And I said, "Well, yeah, every once in a while, you know, somebody gets off key." Me. And we had a good conversation about that. And finally, the bottom line was this. I said, "Yeah, I know there are people sometimes that sing a little off key, and you want them to discipline themselves. If they've got an ear for music, you want them to sing it, and you want them to be on key, right? Am I right? But the main thing is what I told the young man. Listen, what if someone is sitting there that like you ain't never heard nobody sing in your life, but they was?" I said, "Which is worse? Somebody singing really to want to worship the Lord,
and can't really sing all that good, is it far worse for somebody to be able to sit there all through the service and the people around them not sing? Are you with me? I don't know that we ever cleared the air on the thing or not, but dear God, help us. Help us to love the Lord and be desirous to glorify Him with whatever capacity. Really and truly, you know, in a perfect world, in a perfect church, everybody would find their gift and exercise that gift. In an imperfect church, people desire to do what somebody else is doing, and they're not called to that. And they try to do that, and they mess it up. Are you with me? A perfect situation is for all the members of the body of Christ to listen to the head, because the head's where the brains are. I guess you figured out by now that there's not a whole lot of brains in mine. But if we listen to the head, if we listen to the head of the church, Christ is the head of the church. If we listen to Him, we're going to do what He wants us to do. Right? Amen. That's a side road, rabbit trail. Let's get back to the main business here. Psalm 27, verse 4 and 5. Have I read that? For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Okay? All righty. Let's move on to Psalm 84, verse 11 then, Heather. For a day in my courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a keeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. A little stir there that we just finished reading. Those four clusters of Scripture. I was trying to establish the idea that we need to desire, we need to have a desire and a hunger to worship and magnify the Lord. That's what it's all. We need to desire Him. The psalmist said that I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. The times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Somebody told about a pastor up in Michigan who was always talking about his God sighting. What he called his God sightings. He would go through the day looking for signs of God's presence and God's grace. And according to who was telling this, he always found them. He always had plenty of God sightings when he was looking for God. I like that. The truth of refreshing is further illustrated in the New Testament in the book of Acts chapter 19. We've got 7 verses here to look at. It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? They said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you? They said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on Him which should come after Him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues. All the men were about 12. Now I'm going somewhere with this. Take a little bit to get there, but I want to show you something. Acts 19 and 1 said that Paul was at Ephesus. This is where this happened. And he asked him, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? This happened at Ephesus. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. After he prayed with them, they were filled with the Spirit. Now then, Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus reaffirmed their infilling with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12 through 14. Let's look at that. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. God. Sealed. which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So it has been reaffirmed. But now we come to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 through 19. We see another point here I want to just share with you. Wherefore, Paul says, be ye not understanding what it is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. One translation says, keep yourselves filled. Another says, be ye being filled. The form of the verb here, I think that's literally, be ye being filled. It's not just a one-time thing. It's a be ye being filled with the Spirit. I've had people testify and say, oh, I got the Holy Ghost 47 years ago. Well, that's wonderful. You know what? You need to be filled every day. It don't hurt a thing in the world to be filled with the Spirit every day of your life. Amen. Doesn't hurt a thing in the world. Paul said, speaking to yourselves in psalms, in hymns, it's verse 19, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Thank God. Aren't you glad for the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. So thankful that God has given us this wonderful gift of the Spirit of God to guide us and to lead us and to encourage us and to enlighten us. This is unlike any book you'll ever pick up. Unlike any text that you'll ever read. This is God's divine word. And I don't know how many people through the years that I have had to tell me, you know, I've tried to read the Bible and it just doesn't make any sense to me. I just can't seem to get anything out of it. But I've watched those same people come to the altar and give their heart to the Lord and be filled with the Spirit, and they can't get enough of this book. But I can tell you for honest to God truth, I go to this book, when I go to this book and God begins to speak to me, it is eerie. It is skin crawling eerie. How I have things I'm struggling with, and I go to this book and I open it up and I begin to read. My goodness, that's me. There it is, right there. It's right here before me. You know, I've been preaching for 100 years almost, but every time something like that happens, it just amazes me how on target God is with his word. Praise the Lord. And with his Spirit. For the Holy Spirit, when people receive the Holy Spirit and stay in tune with God and communicate with the Holy Spirit of God, this is a wonderful book. It's a blessed book. It's an encouraging book. You sing the songs. You'll never sing again the same way when you sing with the Spirit. You'll never do it the same way. Your testimony will mean more. Amen. They can teach you how to go through this four spiritual laws. They can teach you a whole lot of stuff about how to, you know, and five steps, how to do this, how to do that. And but I've been in situations, friend, probably you have too, there wasn't a textbook around that touched it. I mean, there just wasn't any solution for what I was going through. But you know what? Went to this book. And sure enough, it was there. And the Holy Spirit just orchestrated and did beautiful things. And Christ was glorified. And thankful for the Holy Spirit tonight. Thankful for the Holy Spirit of God. Thank you, Jesus.